Welcome to the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by the Chiefs Focus Network, where you talks about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Without further ado, here's you.
Yo, what it do? Thanks for joining me. This is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast, where I'm talking about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Who am I? My name is you.
You. Detective, you. Not you. You. Who? You. Who? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
That's the letter, not the word. So I am you, letter, not the word, and I am your host. What's happening? What is going on? You can find this podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. Now, I have to remind you, I will be reminding you for the next few episodes. Might even be a little bit longer than that, but this is a Chiefs focus podcast. So, Chiefs Focus is doing something new by putting all their podcasts under one umbrella. So if you subscribe to Chiefs Focus, if you subscribe to the Chiefs Focus podcast, you will find the 100 Yard Dash episodes within those ranks. I do this thing at least once a week, normally on Wednesdays. Sometimes I do it earlier. Sometimes I do it later in the week. If you set up your notifications, you can know when I'm on. You can join me and interact with me live by joining the StreamYard stream, the Chiefs Focus Twitch stream, or you can hit up the Chiefs Focus YouTube page. Like and subscribe as well. Goes a long, long way, further than you realize. Again, thank you for listening. Let's get into it. First thing we got, just a rundown of the show. We got the news, we got week 5 recap, and then we close. So let's get up in there. So the news. We got a flex alert. I told you about it last week, but I just want to keep reminding you. Flex alert. Last Monday, it was announced the game between the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Bucks is on October 15th, has been moved to 4:25. I was about to say 4:30 just to round it up, but 4:25 this week. 4:25 this week. So that is imminent. So to make sure you, if you pay attention to, if your team is the Lions, like a lot of people's team is this year, or you want to see something crazy, let's see what happens with this Tampa Bay Bucks and the Detroit Lions. One team is doing exactly as well as expected. One team's doing better than expected. So, and that's Tampa Bay Bucks doing better than they expected. So, October 15th, week 5, this week has been moved to 4:25 specifically. So, we keep it moving. Bye weeks have begun. Last week, the bye weeks have begun. So, week 5 in the NFL is when bye weeks began. And so, that means I got a graphic up here. I can get up to it. The graphic. We got the Cleveland Browns. We got the Los Angeles Chargers. We got the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Seattle Seahawks all on a bye week. So the Cleveland Browns are 2-2. Chargers are 2-2. Seattle's 3-1. And so is Tampa Bay at 3-1. Again, Tampa Bay is doing a lot better than many expected, including myself. Including myself. So, shoot, let's get into this week four recap. Or the week five recap. Let's go to the Bears and the Commanders. Let's talk about this one. This one has to be an embarrassment for the Commanders. They lost this game. And it wasn't a close game. Like people think a lot. Well, some people think that losing a close one is an embarrassment. But this is pretty bad. This is pretty bad. The Bears were winless when they came into this. Now, the Commanders actually had two wins. And the Bears are snapping a 14-game losing streak. And the Commanders just embarrassed themselves. They pissed down their legs on Thursday Night Football in front of the world. This looks exactly like what they thought it would look like. There was a story about how the Commanders drafted Emmanuel Forbes this past draft. I mean, it's a good story and all, but they don't have enough playmakers on offense or defense, in my opinion. And in a critical year where you got a new ownership group in at the Commanders position, in a critical year where you're being evaluated differently than you had been before, Ron Rivera just needed to focus on getting – a decent product on the field, but instead they want to do it different ways. And it's just, it's not really a good product that they are putting out there. Now the Bears, like I said, they snap a 14-game losing streak, and it is something good for them as they can now have something to rest on and not be so frustrated. A win, winning cures a lot of things. And that Bears team was getting frustrated and it was getting bad, but one win can cure a lot. So let's see what the Bears can do and hopefully string this one into more winning, hopefully. Let's keep it moving. The Jacksonville Jaguars whoop up on the Bills, the Buffalo Bills. They dog walked the Buffalo Bills over in London, I think. So the Jags get back on course. They had just lost one, and they plan on staying that way. They made the big plays. They made plays that were necessary against a team like the Bills. See, the Bills are built for the big play, not only to make the big play on offense, but they're also built to defend the big play on defense. They're built on every level to do it, whether it's they're built on the defensive line to make sure they get to the quarterback. They're built at the linebacker core to make sure they get to the quarterback, and they're built in the back end to make sure that they're able to defend those things. So being able to have the big play against them is big for a team like the Jags, who have been relatively inconsistent this year. We've seen strides moving forward, but we've also seen where they have regressed. And this is a team that is a Super Bowl favorite. So the Jacksonville Jaguars need to get off the snuff and get on board, keep it moving. The Bills, question, are they overrated? Are the Bills in 2023, are they overrated? Yeah, they'll probably go on a small run after this, you know, string together a few wins after this, but they look so underwhelming in these losses. They played this last game, looked like they were jet lagged to me. And it sounds like they went over there they flew over three days before they were supposed to get there. And that's just not smart. You're in a completely different time zone. It's just so many different things overseas than it is here. It would have been better for you to go over there and stay for a good week, maybe, or at least 5 days to acclimate yourself to the time difference. But hey, the Bills they're going to make the playoffs. They'll string together some wins, but are you really worried as a fan of any other team? Are you worried about the Bills coming to beat you at your house? I'm not. Sorry. So, we keep it moving. That's the wrong one. And I still don't have it, but it's cool. The Baltimore Ravens beat the Steelers. The Baltimore Ravens. Where is it? There it is. The Ravens lose to the Steelers 17-10. Takes the Ravens to 3-2 and the Steelers to 3-2. So the Ravens went and got all that wide receiver offensive power. They got it all for Lamar, and he fell apart in this game when it mattered the most. Now, let me set up the scene. They were down, or they were tied, actually. I'm sorry. The Ravens were tied with the Steelers, and they're marching down the field. Then Lamar gets pressured and throws this pass to the end zone, and it gets picked off. Can't remember who it was. I think it was by Joey Porter Jr., but I'm not sure. And then he threw that pick. And then here come the Steelers. They march down the field, and they get themselves a touchdown. The Ravens did not play well in this game. The Ravens gained only one fourth quarter first down, only one. Then Lamar throws a pick in the end zone. Bad, very bad. And then the Steelers, let's go to the Steelers. The Steelers then march down the field and get this game-winning touchdown here, right? Why was the offensive coordinator not happy? They cut the camera to the suite where he's at. And everybody in the room is rejoicing except for him. Did they audible out of his call? Matt Canada has been underwhelming as the Steelers offensive coordinator. And as much as I could tell, nobody in Steeler Nation really enjoys having him around. Maybe I'm wrong in my assessment there, but it's not a good look. It's not, to me, a good look because it's just not good. He's sitting there like, I understand if you were a stoic kind of guy, but he's not. And it just looks like he's got sour grapes. Sour grapes. So, we keep it moving. The Detroit Lions roll. They roll past the Carolina Panthers. So the Panthers is going to be interesting to see the Panthers probably get the number one pick after spending all that time trying to get the number one pick, right? It's going to be interesting. I don't have the graphic. I don't know where I put it, but it's all right. We're going to keep it moving. The Panthers looks okay. They went and acquired the number one pick from the Bears by trade. They traded a boatload of picks for their number one draft pick from the Bears. They're bad. They're a bad team. Matt Rule is not really ruling things on the field, as it were. But To be truthful with you, they've been going up against great teams. And the Lions, they're no slouch. The Lions might be a lot of things, but losers, they are not anymore. They are here to play. They are showing up, making sure you know it's them, making sure that they bury teams. They're not here for the games. They're not here for the games. They want you to make sure you know who beat them, who beat you. And it's the Lions. The Lions have at least 4 wins through 5 games for the first time since 2011. Over a decade. So in this game, they had 3 turnovers. They force 3 turnovers. Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive lineman, had an interception. It's versus the Panthers. Don't get me wrong. There's a little bit of asterisk there. But the Lions didn't even need Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I think is really dynamic. And they didn't need Jahmyr Gibbs. The Lions could be very scary for the NFC. They could be a very scary team for anybody in the NFC. And I am interested in the Detroit Lions. Now, am I taking them to make a run in the playoffs? I'm not sure. They don't have much playoff experience. They don't have much winning experience. But they are rolling like they never had a problem before. So we will see. We will see. Let's keep it moving. Nope. There we go. The Falcons beat the Texans 21-19. Takes the Texans to 2-3. Takes the Falcons to 3-2. Desmond Ridder finally had himself a good game. He finally had himself a good game. 300+ yards passing for the first time in his career, which is good. And their defense, that play action works well for the Falcons. That play action on offense works well for the Falcons. So shout out to the Atlanta Falcons for beating the Texans, because the Texans were trying to, you know, get some momentum going with C.J. Stroud and everything, which I still think they will have some momentum, or they will have be able to recreate that momentum, but they got some work to do, and so do the Atlanta Falcons. This by no means is the best thing. I mean, they won, but this is not the end. They still have a lot of work to do to make it out of this division. Don't forget, they're in a division with the Saints. They're in a division with the Bucks. They're in a division with, I would say, the Panthers, but they're not even worth mentioning. So with those 2 teams, the Texans are much better than I expected. I mean, not Texans. The Bucks are much better than I expected, just like we talked about earlier. They're much better than I expected. So if you plan, I do believe Atlanta might move on from their head coach this season if they can't figure out how to at least be competitive and be on the bubble for at least making the playoffs. If they can't do that, I believe that Arthur Blank is going to get the head coach out the paint. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Let's keep it moving. The Saints beat up on the lowly New England Patriots. The score, 34-21. Saints are 3-2. Patriots are 1-4, and it's over for the Belichick era. It's over. It's over. Ding dong. The witch is dead. It's over. Bill Belichick, there's a statement. Now, I know I'm using a lot of movie references right now. Bear with me. But, you know, the statement, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Bro, if that's not what's happening to Bill Belichick, I don't know what is. If that's not the story of what's happening to Bill Belichick right now. Now, we know Bill is the end-all, be-all. Defensive mind, defensive guru, head coach, What else is he? The general manager, player personnel, the whole nine. He is that. At this point, his involvement is hindering the Patriots organization. And a lot of people don't think he should be fired. Like me, myself, I've been on this airwaves and I said that maybe they should part ways amicably, right? I said that Bill Belichick might not get this record as a head coach. This 18, I think he's 18 games. I can't remember the exact number. But I think he's 18 games away from being the winningest head coach of all time. And I said I didn't think he would make it because if he won 18 games, he has 18 games to get it. If he won 8 games a season, that'll still he wouldn't get it till his third year. He doesn't have 3 years with the Patriots as a head coach and the GM and the end-all be-all as he is. If he's relegated to coaching only because he's definitely not evaluating talent the best way he used to. So he definitely needs to go back to the head coaching as opposed to the GM side of things. He definitely needs to go there instead of that way. But if he just coaches, if he's still effective coaching, and he can find a way to string together 10 wins, maybe it'll be in 2 years. But if he's doing both, I don't see this team winning more than 8 games this season or next. I just don't see it. Asante Samuel urges Tom Brady to come back to the Patriots. Bro, it ain't because he thinks Tom Brady being back would make them a Super Bowl champion that year. Bro, it ain't happening. Ain't happening now. And I'm going to tell you why. Men got egos out of this world. And it came to a head at that between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It came to a head to where the big boss man had to get involved. And when it gets to that point, it's almost irreparable. And if it was, let's say it wasn't irreparable. Bringing him back, Tom Brady, that last year that they had, the very last year that they had together, wasn't horrible. But the fact that Bill Belichick was trying to get rid of Tom Brady, Tom had to go above his head. That's never going to sit well with another man, ever. That's why Tom was like, you know what? I'll be the bigger man. I'll leave. I'll go get me a Super Bowl championship elsewhere. Now, I do believe that Tom, if he's still the same guy, if he still has the same mentality, Tom could probably bring it there. But, I mean, when I say that, I don't mean like I think he could still win some football games. I don't think he can win the championship. But, that remains to be seen. I ain't got to worry about it because the dude ain't coming back. I don't think he's coming back. So, we keep it moving. The Giants got beat up on by the Miami Dolphins. The Giants showed Brewster how to lose $40 million in under 30 days. If y'all remember the movie Brewster's Millions, he had to spend $30 million in 30 days, right? And I don't have the graphic for this game. I don't know what happened, but we keep it moving. Yeah, man. They signed Daniel Jones to that contract, and it's been hell to pay ever since. Daniel Jones has been sacked 18 times in the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks. They've doing all this. They ain't got no receivers, you know. They out trotting out there, Sterling Shepard and so forth, and then Darren Waller, who's past his prime. Like, this is no bueno for the New York Giants. The Dolphins Akane is so good. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's so good. Or maybe the game plan is so good. Either way, that dude is balling, the running back for the Dolphins. Now, I do think the Dolphins are better than they were last season, which I didn't think I'd be saying. But they still have a definitive ceiling, and I think they know it. They have a definitive ceiling, and they know it. So they're doing what Tampa did. They're doing what Tampa did in 2020, in the 2020-2021 season. They're bringing in whatever talent they can bring in and figuring it out, because you never know when you're going to need them. So they went out and got the wide receiver from the Bears. His name is escaping me, but they went out and got a wide receiver. So they're making sure they got size, they got speed, they got a lot of things down there. They're making it to where it's going to be difficult to beat them or even game plan for them, which I don't think is the wrong thing. I don't think that at all. I think it's actually the right thing. So we'll see how it works out. We'll definitely see how it works out, but I see what they're doing. The New York Giants, Miami whoops up on the Giants, and the Giants, I don't know where they can go from here. Like, it's a personnel problem. It legitimately is a personnel problem. Now you're stuck with Daniel Jones for at least 4 years, 3 years after this season's over, 3 years after this season is over. Let's keep it moving. The Tennessee Titans lose to the Indianapolis Colts in an AFC South battle. I don't know what the Titans are. The Colts score 23. The Titans score 16. Titans are 2-3. Colts are 3-2. I don't know what the Titans are. They have no real identity. Let's rewind 3 years ago. They had identity then. They were ground and pound. Tannehill, don't turn the ball over. Derrick Henry ain't that guy no more. He just ain't. There is nothing they can point to in their system and say, we're great in this area. They used to have that with Derrick Henry. It ain't happening no more. He is now a mere mortal. He is not feared by anyone. The Colts in this game, Anthony Richardson left with a shoulder injury, which could be a problem for them. But they just recently signed Jonathan Taylor, and he got injured. Zach Moss, his replacement, ran for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns. So this division loss will hurt the Titans. This division loss is going to hurt the Titans. So we'll see where they decide to go from here, but I just don't see anything that they do well. I don't see anything that they do great. Let's keep it moving. The Cincinnati Bengals beat the Arizona Cardinals 34-20. Bengals are 2-3. Cardinals are 1-4. And my question is, are the Bengals back? Are the Bengals back? They've had bad starts to the season. They kind of warm up to a season, as it were. You know, they have a few bad losses early in the season. First 5 or 6 games, they have a few bad losses. And next thing you know, they string off a decent amount of wins. Remember last week, we thought the sky was falling. Oh, you got to trade. They got to trade Jamar. And then this week, or Jamar and his little statement, I got it here somewhere, but Jamar had his issues. Like, he was always open. Why ain't you throwing me the ball? Basically, I got rid of it. But last week, they had that problem. This week, 15 receptions, 3 touchdowns, a Bengals franchise record for Chase. Cincinnati's wide receiver. the third quarter is where the Cardinals really lost. Now, one thing I will say about the Cardinals, they will battle to the end. But the third quarter is where they lost this game. They were keeping up for a little while. They went forward on fourth and one. They didn't get it. But after that play, it felt like everything shifted for them. Everything just shifted, and it shifted in the wrong direction. So the Arizona Cardinals, I hope they keep battling, keep fighting, because I like that in them. But they were just – the Bengals were just too much for the Arizona Cardinals. Let's keep it moving. The Philadelphia Eagles beat up on the Los Angeles Rams and remain unbeaten in the league. Philadelphia scored 23. The Rams scored 14. Philly is 5-0, while the Rams are 2-3. The Eagles did what they always do. They grind them down to a nub. Then, once they grind you down, it opens up everything everywhere else. Everything. They kept the Rams pass rushing down by running the ball. They had 159 yards rushing. Hurts went over 70-plus yards rushing. And once they did that, they were also able to get the opposing pass rush going. They were able to get their pass rush going by keeping the opposing quarterback at bay. They sacked Stafford 4 times. And it was half of those sacks were by one person, Jalen Carter. He's the 9th pick of this last year's draft. Now, on to the losers, the Rams. Cooper Kupp and Nacua were great, but they couldn't survive the grind down. They just couldn't. They weren't ready for that. I don't think the Rams were ready to be grinded down to a nub, because they were grinded down to a nub. And the Eagles worked that out perfectly. Worked it out perfectly. So this is a key win to keep the Eagles 5-0. But the Rams lose a conference one. This is a conference loss that they have, and they're going to feel this one. They're definitely going to feel this one. I do think that they will be one of the teams to come out in their division, but if they're not careful, they could still miss the playoffs. So Rams got to figure it out. They only have 2 wins right now, but – you know, they got to figure it out, period. Let's keep it moving. The Chiefs went to Minnesota and beat the Vikings 27-20. The Chiefs are 4-1. The Vikings are 1-4. Now, I'm going to say this like this. The Vikings are losing games the same way – okay, let me start over. The Vikings are losing games this year the same way that they were winning games last year. Here's what I mean. They won games last season. They won like 11 one-score games last season, and that was the most in NFL history. They won 11 – one score games last season. You only play 17 of these bad boys. So that's 6 games that they just blew somebody out or lost. But they won 11 one score games last season. They've lost 4 one score games this season. I really don't know what the culprit is. I know bad clock management has been an issue for this team, especially aside from this game. The last 2 losses have been an issue, so they got to figure it out. Kevin O'Connell just got there, and last year they were pretty dynamic. So this year they need to figure out how to be better, how to just be better. Justin Jefferson was shut down by the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, let's go to the Chiefs. Mahomes has beaten 31 teams in the NFL. They're only 32. And hopefully he never gets to 32. I said it. Hopefully he never gets to 32. But he's the youngest to do it. He's the youngest to beat all 31 teams. This is going to be a tough conversation. Travis Kelce. He seems half a step slower. Some people think it's because he's got his nose wide open. And for those that don't know what that means, he's in love with Taylor Swift. Some people say it's the beginning of the end. I doubt that. And I guess some people say it's not an issue. It's just a phase. You know, it's just a phase, a situation. And I doubt the Chiefs are seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. Or they are seeing the same thing and they're trying to figure out who they're going to get within the ranks that they currently have to make sure that they're able to get the next guy going as opposed to going to get somebody, figure it out with what they already have. I think they might be trying to plan. They might be planning on passing the torch to Rashee Rice. There's sparks there with Rashee. They just have to figure out how to make Rashee more consistent. And it's going to take longer than this season to figure that out. But somebody's got to get 1,000 yards in this offense for it to be dynamic enough to win anything. And I don't think we're past that point with Kelce yet because he can string together a bunch of games. But somebody in this Chiefs offense has to score have 1,000 yards, I believe, for this offense to do what is normally expected to do. But we'll see what happens. But it seems like Kelce is a quarter step slower. And every time you see somebody a quarter step slower, the end is not too long afterwards. Look at Zach Ertz. 2 years ago, they were fine. He was fine. He wasn't the same guy he was, but he was. Now he's scored a touchdown this past week with the Arizona Cardinals. And I forgot he was in the league. But we keep it moving. We ain't going to dwell on that. Revenge is a bit dish best served cold. This wasn't the game for the Jets that I anticipated against the Broncos because, of course, you know about the Sean Payton calling everything the Jets did in the past or calling everything that Nathaniel Hackett did with the Broncos bad and that he's got to redo it all. Look, this wasn't the game for the Jets that I anticipated. The Jets defense was all right. You know, they held them to 21 points. But Russ and Peyton, they ain't going to make it to the end of the season. Ain't no way I see this making it to the end of the season. Russ had the most sorry-less ride at the end of the press conference on Sunday night or Sunday. It was bad. It was actually kind of bad for both teams, but the Jets get the revenge that they were looking for for their offensive coordinator. They got the win they were looking for. The Jets are 2-3. The Broncos are 1-4. And again, I don't see Russell Wilson finishing the season as the starting quarterback. So we'll see what happens. The Cowboys get murked on national TV. And I will put the graphic up, but you got the score is incorrect. The Cowboys get murked on national TV, got fans crying, got people recording Cowboys fans crying. Do you believe that the Cowboys are cursed by Jerry Jones? Do you believe that the Cowboys are cursed by Jerry Jones? The Jimmy Johnson curse for not putting Jimmy in their Ring of Honor. They're cursed because they have not put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. Now, I don't know what to say about that, but let's get to this game. The 49ers have scored 30 or more points in 8 consecutive games. It's the 5th longest streak in the NFL per ESPN Stats Info on Twitter, at ESPN Stats Info. Stop expecting ugly games from the QB. Purdy might have one sooner or later, but stop expecting it. Don't expect an ugly game from him. He's more than a game manager. He's being trusted to do big things in that offense. He has a handle on this offense that I never saw from Jimmy G. So they trust that dude. Purdy is legit. He had legitimate expectations lofted on him this year, and he's handling them. So much so that the 49ers are undefeated, 5-0. And Dallas, let's go to Dallas. Dallas brought a water gun to a shootout. A water gun to a forest fire. It's not good for the Dallas Cowboys, and they admitted as much in the press conference. And I don't – everybody's blaming Dak. You knew what Dak was when you signed him. Why are you blaming Dak? Everything should fall on the head coach. And Mike, I will say it again, Mike McCarthy ain't no good head coach, period. I'm leaving it at that. And y'all saw so in here. 49ers fans, I know y'all was frustrated with, I know a few of y'all were frustrated with Kyle Shanahan and everything he got going on and the progress y'all have seen over the years and not being able to get to, like, win the big one. But Kyle Shanahan is such a good coach. So I love Kyle Shanahan. I love what he brings to the table. And seeing that being able to admit when you're wrong is something crazy is something that men aren't willing to do, especially rich men. And seeing that they were wrong with Trey Lance and being able to trade him off to the Dallas Cowboys, of all people, was nothing more than amazing, nothing less than amazing, in my opinion. And I don't know if Dallas winning this game thinking that Trey Lance had intel, but the game plan looked like Trey Lance had, like they trusted Trey Lance to give them the intel that they needed, and they lost. Woo. But anyway, we keep it moving. Love ain't all the Packers need as they lose a close one in Vegas. Love is not all the Packers need. They're going to have to build a team around this dude. I'm not saying Love's not the answer to be the next quarterback. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is they're going to have to build more dynamic talent around this quarterback for him to be successful. Because the Packers lose to the Raiders 17-13. Raiders score 17. Packers score 13. Both teams are 2-3. Sometimes I wonder, is LaFleur a good coach? Because when I think good coaches, I think of elevation of talent. I look at guys like Kyle Shanahan. I look at guys like Nick Sirianni. I look at guys like Mike Tomlin, who are there and they coach guys up. But I look at guys like LaFleur, and I just don't know. When you come into a situation where your quarterback is already good, Aaron Rodgers, when LaFleur got there, Aaron Rodgers was an MVP. Same thing I have. That's why I have the feelings I have towards Mike McCarthy. I think Aaron Rodgers bailed him out many, many times. But when you have that kind of dynamic talent, you tend to get lost in the shuffle. You tend to allow the quarterback to do his thing while you coach up everybody else. Or you could coach up the quarterback, but he knows so much and is so good that you don't have to worry about him as much. So you don't. You try to go coach everybody else. But then when it's time, when that inevitable time comes where you have to at least coach up a quarterback, it's questionable that you can do it. And I think that's where we're at with LaFleur. That's where I believe that's where I'm at with LaFleur. I know that. Over to the Raiders. I already know McDaniels is not a good coach. Maybe y'all should just let ownership of the Raiders know that he's not a good coach. You won this game. I get it. The second game of the season. But going out to get Jimmy G was a bad idea in the first place. Unless he was your backup. But Jimmy G now leads the league in interceptions. I'm sorry. I just don't know what you expected coming out of this game on Monday Night Football. It was a bad idea for Monday Night Football. I just didn't like it, but it is what it is. And the Raiders are 2-3, and so are the Packers. So, with that being said, that ends the Week 5 recap. It's going to be a crazy Week 6, and I'm interested. The Chiefs and the Broncos face off on Week 6, on Thursday night in Week 6, which is tomorrow. And I'm interested in that. Tune in to Chiefs Focus for the post-game show. Tune in to Pro Sports Fans, the app. We will be on tonight talking about games that we can, how we can win this game. And we'll be on post-game as well. Myself, JP, Caleb, and Q, the professor. So look forward to seeing everybody there, hopefully. You should drop by Pro Sports Fans application. Come to the Chiefs section. That's where we'll be. We'll be having analysis throughout the game. We will, you know, go through keys of hopefully winning the game afterwards or whatever happens to be the case. Either whether we win or lose, we'll be on talking about it post-game. So hopefully everything goes according to plan as far as us winning. And I don't think there's anything else that calls my attention. So if there's nothing else that calls my attention, Week 5 is over. We'll see what happens with Week 6. And until then, deuces.